Love of the beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Love of the beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to the wonderful, beautiful program of Madani Channel. And of course it is wonderful and beautiful because it is actually a mention and tazkira of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the beloved of all the beloved. So welcome to the beautiful program, Love for the Beloved sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So like every episode, we will be covering in this episode as well another aspect of love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, another importance of loving the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, some more requirements regarding loving the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So stay tuned from the beginning to the end, inshallah ta'ala. There's a lot for us to learn about. This is all related to a person's belief, all related to a person's iman, the beautification of one's faith. Of course, that's only possible with the love of the beloved sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So let's start off with a narration regarding sending salawat upon the Prophet of mankind, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Thus the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, the one who recites durood upon me in abundance in this world shall be the closest to me on the day of judgment, inshallah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So today, inshallah azza wa jal, we will speak about a very important fact. A fact which we learn from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. First of all, we should know how sincere the beloved companions of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam were. And before I mention to you the topic, let me mention to you a very famous, a very beautiful narration wherein the summary is, the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu are together. And upon being asked, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, I love you more than anything else. Yes, Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than anything else except my own soul. Leaving my own soul, meaning apart from my own life, I love you more than anything else, Ya Rasulullah. Allahu Akbar. First of all, let's look at the loyalty, let's look at the honesty which the ashab of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had. Nowadays, friendships, nowadays, commitments are very different. In fact, they carry a lot of exaggeration, a lot of, you know, words, a game of words. I'll bring the stars for you, I'll bring the moon for you, I'll do this for you, I'll do that for you. But when it's time for genuine need, Allahu Akbar, where are those friends? Where are those so-called beloveds? Allahu Akbar. So nowadays, you know, those commitments and those claims are filled with exaggeration. But Allahu Akbar, look at the companions of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such honesty. That Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, I love you more than anything else except my own soul, except my own life. Upon which the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, O Umar, you are not yet a complete believer. You will only become a complete believer when I become closer to you than your family, than each and everything else, even your own life. When I'm closest to you, when I'm the most closest to you, even than your own life, when someone considers me the closest and most dearest and most beloved and loves me more than his own life, then only a person will become a true believer. And Allahu Akbar, immediately Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu responded, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Alhamdulillah, I find you to be the most dearest I find you to be the most beloved to me, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, this was the companion of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, a beloved companion of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This is also a nasihat of loyalty for us. Before we come to the topic, this is a lesson of loyalty. This is a lesson of honesty. This is a lesson of how friendship should be. This is a lesson of how love should be. Love should be honest. Love should be clear. In fact, nowadays friendships, unfortunately, as I mentioned, a lot of exaggeration, a lot of fake commitments, a lot of playing around with words. A friend, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah says, a friend is he who, upon seeing whom, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a true friend. Yes, that's a true friend. You see that person, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You become eager to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to start going to the masjid and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to attend the gatherings of Ilmadeen. You want to attend the ijtima'at. You want to watch the Madani muzakara. You want to get closer to deen. You want to get closer to Islam. Those are friends. Those are friends, according to what Imam Ghazali rahimahullah says. Not those who may lead you towards filthy places. Not those who may lead you towards filthy activities. Not those who may lead you towards sinning. That's not the criteria of friendship. Unfortunately, nowadays we have assumed friendship for worldly benefits only. We have restricted an element which is supposed to be way wider than our imaginations. So friendship is such in which a person becomes closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not limited to this world, but it is limited to akhirah as well. It expands to the akhirah as well. That a person who leads you towards the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person is actually such a great friend of yours that he is helping you get salvation on the day of judgment. He is making it easier for you on the day of judgment. That's friendship. And let's learn this lesson from the ashab of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So anyway, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's narration teaches us that the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam should be such that it should be more than our own lives. We should love the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam more than ourselves, more than the life we have, more than the soul we have, more than the heart we have, more than the eyes we have, more than the parents we have, more than the wealth we have. Everything should be, you know, behind the love of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should have the most superiority in our list of superiorities, inshallah ta'ala. You know, when we look at the history of Sahaba-e-Karam, when we look at their akhlaq, when we look at their statements, they would at times start their statements. They would in fact make their statements starting with, Ya Rasulullah, may my parents be sacrificed on you. Ya Rasulullah, may I be sacrificed on you. These were their statements. These were how they would love the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. Now let's look at the examples as well. That towards those things which had relation with Rasulullah, towards anything which was somehow related to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, how the ashab, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would be affectionate, would have love towards those things, would have love towards the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. They would love the Prophet, they would love whatever has connection with the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam more than anything else. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Urwa bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that the Quraysh at the time of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah sent him towards the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And when he came in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, so he saw that the companions of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam were incredibly affectionate towards the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He saw to such an extent that when the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, when he used to make wudu, when he used to perform ablution, the Sahaba-e-Kiram would gather and try to get the droplets of water. They would accumulate the droplets of water which fell off after getting into contact with Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. They would try to gather those droplets. They would try to get their hands on them. They would rub them on their hands, on their faces, on their body parts. They would rub them for the sake of blessings. He says that in fact it was to such an extent that it felt like they would end up fighting. Allahu Akbar. That was the passion. For what? For the droplets which came into contact with Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Because that water is common. That water is common. But because Nabi Pak sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has used it, because it has come into contact with the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, now that water is no ordinary water. That water is also amazing. That water is also wonderful. That water is also unique. That water is also a beloved now. Because it has come into contact with the beloved of all the beloveds. So obviously the Sahaba Ikram, they would be eager towards attaining that. When Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would get his hair cut, so the Sahaba Ikram would be there to collect the strands of hair of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. They would be there to collect them, to keep them as tabarruk, as the relics of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So he was shocked to see this behavior of the Sahaba Ikram, that when they would talk with respect. When they would be present in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, they would be respectful. They would be ba-adab. They would be humble in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. When Urwa bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu returned back towards Quraysh, the ones who sent him to the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So he said that, oh, the nation of Quraysh, oh, the people of Quraysh, I have been to Qaisar, I have been to Najash, I have been to Faris, I have been to many, many places, I have been to Rome, I have been to Habasha, and then I have been to the court of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Nowhere have I seen such level of respect which I found in the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam towards the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. I have not seen at any place that if they were standing, they were standing with respect. If they were sitting, they were sitting with respect. If they were talking, they were talking with respect. And what was the level of respect? What was the maqam of respect? Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Bara'a bin Azib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that I wanted to talk to the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam about a certain matter. But due to the ru'b of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning the impression of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and the effect of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon the people's hearts, and due to his honor and respect and the situation, how the environment used to be in his gatherings, you know, due to honor and respect only, I kept on prolonging my conversation of that certain matter until few years passed. Allahu Akbar. Let's look at another example. Hazrat Amr bin Al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that when I look into myself in terms of me loving the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, so I do not find anything or anyone more dearer to me than the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My eyes do not see anybody more respectable than the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My eyes do not see anybody more honorable than the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My eyes do not see anybody more beloved than the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And due to the respect and love and honor of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, obviously I would keep my gaze down. I would keep my gaze lowered. Meaning I was not able to comprehend and take in that blessed sight of the face of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam to such an extent that because I had only been privileged with the glimpses, so if somebody has to ask me about the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, I will not be able to define it because I would not be looking at his blessed face. Allahu Akbar. That's the level of honor. That's the level of respect. That's how much the Sahaba Ikram, they revered the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They respected the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were so ba-adab and respectful in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Usama radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that when we used to be in the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, so we used to be seated in such a way, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Meaning the ashab, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, when they were in a gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would sit in such a way like as if there was a bird on their heads. Yes, there were pigeons on their heads. Meaning, not moving, not shaking, not changing positions again and again, due to respect, due to the concentration they had towards the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, a great sahabi of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he once came to know that there is a sahabi whose name was Qabis bin Rabi'ah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was very much look-alike, who used to look very similar to the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in terms of physical appearance, in terms of the face. And when the sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam came to the house of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu came off, he left his throne and he welcomed him and gave him a special place to sit. He kissed between the eyes of the sahabi. So much of respect and love. Why? Because the sahabi resembled the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in terms of appearance and looks. Allahu Akbar. So when we look into the history of sahaba, when we look into the history of the companions of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, they had so much of love. They had so much of respect for the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that they loved the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam even more than their lives. And this is the basis of iman. This is the basis of belief. For a person to be a true believer, he has to love the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam more than his own life. Yes, we need to make the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam more beloved to us, even more than our own lives. But how do we do that? Yes, we may claim to do that, but it all happens physically. It all happens practically. Allahu Akbar. Sarkar ka aashik bhi kya daadi mundata hai? Kyun ishq ka izhar chehre se nahi hota? That how can we imagine the lover of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam shaving the beard? Kyun ishq ka izhar chehre se nahi hota? Why doesn't love become displayed? The love which is in the heart, why doesn't it come on the face? Allahu Akbar, why isn't it expressed and displayed on the face of a lover? He loves a beloved. You love the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. But unfortunately, the appearance is not like the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not Islamic. It is all according to the cultures of the other side, meaning un-Islamic cultures. So how is it that we claim to be the lovers, but yet we are not demonstrating that love? So it doesn't make sense to a certain extent that we claim we are lovers, but unfortunately, our practical life is not showing all that. We claim to be lovers, but unfortunately, we are not following the commandments of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, if our love gets to such an extent that we love the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam more than our lives, we are ready to sacrifice our heads on the name of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If our iman comes to that extent, then everything else will seem easier to us. Performing salah is easier than giving life. Keeping beard is easier than giving life. Performing your ibadat is easier than giving life. Going for hajj is easier than giving life. Going for charity works is easier than giving life. Calculating properly and giving out zakat is easier than giving life. Obedience towards parents is easier than giving life. Obedience and respect towards teachers is easier than giving life. Fulfilling the rights of neighbors, the wife, the children is easier than giving life. Likewise, many, many, many other matters of Sharia, many matters of halal and haram, earning according to the right means, is easier than giving life, earning according to halal means and avoiding haram means, is easier than giving life. So we claim that our love for the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is such that we are ready to give our lives. So what about those matters which are easier than giving life? So that should automatically fall into place. Sunnah should become easier for us. Performing the sunnah, being obedient, dressing according to sharia, speaking according to sharia, walking and talking according to sharia, fulfilling the rights of neighbors, children, wife, parents, fulfilling the rights of the teacher. This should all become easier for us, isn't it? Then only we can say that, yes, he's doing all this because his love for the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is such that he considers the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam's love even superior than his own life. Then only we will be complete Ashiq Rasul, isn't it? But unfortunately, for salahs we have excuses. For zakat we have excuses. For keeping a beard, which is actually an emphasized sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It is such a sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in which where a person is a habitual of cutting this or trimming it below one fist is a sinner. So how does it match? How does our claim match with our practices? So once we become those who are obedient upon the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and bring our love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam superior than our own lives, then only we will be successful in putting in this legacy in our coming generations. Because if we drive away, if we go away, if we part our ways from the practices of sharia, from the commandments of sharia, then what can we expect from the generations to come? Because as generations are passing, we are seeing that the tendency of acting upon the sunnah, the practices and the habit and the passion of being firm upon sharia is slowly, 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 generation per generation per generation per generation going away. Unfortunately, yes, that's the reality. We can save that. And we can become the initiators of goodness by practicing ourselves and leaving behind a great legacy. We leave behind a legacy and a passion and a habit of performing salahs. We leave behind a passion of loving Rasulullah. We leave behind a passion of celebrating the milad of Rasulullah. We leave behind the passion of practicing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Generations to come shall remember this inshallah ta'ala. But how about contrary to this? We think about the other side, that if we become the initiators of evil, if we become the initiators of not keeping a beard, if we become the initiators of not dressing according to sunnah, if we become the initiators of not performing salah, if we leave behind the legacy of driving away from sharia, then the generations to come, when they have these practices, so wouldn't the burden of that be on our shoulders as well? Let's try. Charity begins at home. Let's try from ourselves. Then towards our children, then towards our family members, then towards our neighbors, then towards our society, then towards our town, then towards our cities, then towards our regions, our provinces, then towards the whole country, continent, entire world, and likewise embark on this beautiful journey and mission given to us by Sayyidi Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum al-Aliya, that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. Alhamdulillah, this is the beautiful environment of Dawat-e-Islami, which not only teaches us the importance of the love of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, but it also encourages us to become practical lovers of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Meaning, let the love be visible in our personalities, in our appearances, in our actions, in our day-to-day routines. Let the love of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam be visible. That tomorrow we stand in front of the mirror, we look at ourselves, we can say, yes, this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam I'm following upon. right now, if we get into in front of a mirror, what will be our situation? No head covering, no topi, no Imam Sharif. Allahu Akbar. No beard. Dressing not according to the sunnah. And we talk to ourselves in the mirror that how much am I practicing upon the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Meaning, how much am I in the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a practical ground? We will receive the answer for ourselves. Every man for himself. Yes, let's assess ourselves. Let's do fikr e Madina upon ourselves. This reminds me of the beautiful gift which Amir al-Sunnah has given us. Yes, if a person wants to become an Ashik e Rasool, practically meaning becoming obedient and firm upon Sharia, doing good deeds, acting upon the Sunnah, getting closer to Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Easy formula. 72 activities, 72 good deeds. It's a daily form that you assess yourself, ask yourself few questions. It's a questionnaire. And you ask yourself, have I done this today? If it's a yes, you mark a tick. If it's a no, you mark a zero that no, I haven't done. I need to do this. Inshallah, I need to get into the practice of this. Alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami gives us an opportunity to get into the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Practically be associated with the environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Let's create this love in our hearts for the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam to such an extent that it comes on number one. Nothing ahead of it. All our family matters, all our wealth matters, all our bank balances, all our luxuries, all our cars, all our businesses, all our houses, all our properties and plots and currencies, everything comes later. Love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam comes first. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us firm on the love of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. May we be true lovers of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Keep watching Madani channel. Keep watching love of the beloved sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Love of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Love of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.